return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Tonight we have Deb Colesbeck, who's going to be speaking. Amen. And so why don't you, yes, give her a hand as she comes to share the Word of God.
Brandon. Pastor Dave, thank you everybody for coming out. Amen. You love the word, yes?
Amen. Whew.
Praise God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You are always good, always good, always for your people. Hallelujah. Pouring out your blessing. Lord, thank you for amazing and abundant grace flowing to each one of these precious people. Thank you that you yearn over us, that you sing over us. Thank you for revelation flowing even tonight, Lord, and the demonstration of your Spirit's power in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Woo!
Glory to God, glory to God. Again, thanks for coming out. You're going to be blessed. Because the Word, it always is so full, so rich. So I'm going to share tonight on a passage from the book of the Song of Solomon. It's quite a book, right? This allegory, this divine parable of sorts, describing the divine romance between the beloved, our King, and you and I, also called the beloved. So there's a lot that can be said, but tonight we're just going to focus on a few verses from chapter 1. Now, understand that the basic conversation in this book is between King Solomon and his bride, who's called the Shulamite. Now, here's the cool part. I've been doing some study, and I never knew this before, but did you know that Solomon and Shulamite are actually the exact same Hebrew word, one in the masculine form and one in the feminine? Now that, yes, it's very, if we can get what this really means. For example, let's think about the word Solomon. What does it mean? Anybody know already? Well, he's the King of Peace. It's actually taken from one of my favorite words in the whole Word of God, that pregnant, rich word called Shalom, which has several different meanings. So I'm just going to give you a little insight. Some of you, maybe it's a new word to you. Say it with me, Shalom.
Shalom.
If you lived in the land of Israel, you'd hear it multiple times of the day because that's how they greet people. Shalom. May things be well with you. Shalom. May you have peace and tranquility. Shalom. May yours be prosperity and success. Shalom. May you have harmonious relationships. Shalom. May you be healthy and strong and well. So, just a couple words, a couple scriptures with this not magic. Well, it almost is. It's a divine magic. Just say the word. Walk into your house tonight and say, Shalom. Peace be to this household. Wellness, wholeness. Because that's God's will for you, friend. So one of them is a very famous verse, Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, most of us use this verse to talk about calmness, tranquility, having our heart at rest in his presence. And those are very, very true. This word perfect peace in the Hebrew actually is the double shalom, shalom. Double emphasis. That's exactly what it says in the Hebrew. May yours be shalom, shalom, like a double emphasis, God's saying.
Amen.
And how does it come? When your mind is stayed on Him. Now, when we look at some of these other meanings, I want you to remember this, because you can go back to this verse and put some of these other meanings in there. So here's one, Psalm 35:27, where the translation is a little different. It says, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure, I'm looking at the last sentence here, in the prosperity of his servant. That's the word shalom right there. prosperity. The Lord has great pleasure. It thrills His heart when you're calm, at rest in His presence, when you're enjoying good success, or some of these other things, when your relationships are all harmonious, when you're healthy and strong and intact, is another word from Strong's Concordance. So He takes pleasure in the well-being of His servant. That's you, friend. That's you. God gets a smile on His face when you are doing well, when you are calm and undisturbed in His presence. Here's another one, Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for You, Lord, make me to dwell in safety. So the word peace right here is shalom. I was having quite a struggle months ago with sleeping. And I was just asking the Lord for some scriptures on sleep. So this was one of them. And it just was such a revelation. I will lay me down in shalom. Whew, just think about that. I'm laying down in ordained success and prosperity. I'm laying down in safety. That's actually what this verse here is talking about, safety. I'm laying down in intactness. I'm laying down in calmness. You know how your mind wants to take off 100 miles an hour just when you lay down? Yeah, well, start claiming this one. I'm laying down in calm and tranquility and my heart at rest in His presence. Okay, here's another one, Isaiah 53:5. The second half of the verse where it says the chastisement, which means the punishment. Well, actually, the whole verse is so good. Let's just read it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, hurt, friend, for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace. Specifically, this verse is talking about your health, your strength, your well-being. The chastisement of our well-being, and many translations put it just like that, the punishment of our health, of our well-being, was on Jesus Christ. And with His stripes, we are healed. Glory to God. So we're talking also about harmony in relationships. Psalm 41:9. I think this is the last shalom verse we're going to use. Yea, my own familiar friend. The word friend there is shalom. And David is talking about an example where he had this familiar friend, this close relationship, and this guy, the verse says at the end, lifted up his heel against me. I think it's considered a prophecy in regards to Judas. I mean, the same night Judas betrayed Jesus, Jesus turned to him and called him friend. Jesus still was not harboring any anger, resentment, malice, or disturbance about the whole situation. Amazing, isn't it? Hallelujah. So, like I said, I dare look at these scriptures from the wide-angle lens that now and put some of these other phrases in there. Like, I lay me down now in health and strength. I lay me down in ordained success, in peace and quietness. And He takes pleasure. It's the delight of our Father's heart that we be intact and healthy. Hey, that's a word from the Lord right now for somebody in this house, because you've been lied to. I don't know who's telling you. Somebody is that, oh, it's just natural. It's just the way things are. No, not if you're a child of God. Because all of that punishment that Jesus bore was for your well-being and your health and your strength and your forgiveness and your safety and your protection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, all of that to say, the name Solomon means any one of those last five things I told you, right? We're talking about completeness. We're talking about wholeness. We're talking about peace. And please understand now that the name given to you, the beloved, the Shulamite, actually represents you and I in this whole allegory, means the very same thing. We've been born of God, is that right? Have you been born of God? By that incorruptible seed, right? We've taken on His divine nature, so what flows in Jesus should now flow in us. Or let's just change it around and just start declaring that. What flows in Jesus flows in me. Yes? Hallelujah. We have to change our identity, because the enemy is constantly lying, saying, you're this, you're that. Don't you remember how you did this? Don't you know this and this and this? Well, there are these earthly realities, friends, but there are spiritual realities. It's true, we can't see them or feel them or taste them. In fact, are you able to bring up on the screen Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified Classic? Because I thought about that today thinking, now that's such a good word about faith. Here it is. He's so fast. Thank you, Jeremy. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. I mean, that's like a piece of paper in our hand that shows ownership, right? Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. And here's a definition of faith that we could take to the bank. Faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You might not ever see it. Well, I don't want to declare it that way. But some of these heavenly realities that we read about, we think, impossible. In fact, while we were praying and worshiping, I thought, it was like the Spirit of the Lord said, somebody in the place tonight or on Facebook has decided it's impossible. I'm never going to get my answer. I'm never going to see the breakthrough in this area. But I want to tell you, start perceiving in the spirit realm. You know, whatever is most real to us is what we're going to start to experience. What we focus on. If you constantly are thinking, yeah, it's impossible, it's never going to happen for me. Well, how about start declaring and decreeing that the heavenly reality will be yours? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So anyway, we have to change our identity and we have to see ourselves as His beloved. I think just about every one of you are there, I hope. Just say it with me. I'm His beloved. I'm cherished by the Most High God. Whew, He yearns over me. Hey, come on, say it. He yearns over me. Whew, yes, yes, yes. So most of us have had some pretty good teaching about that we are loved, cherished. If you don't feel that, you just need to start declaring it until you do. Hallelujah. But how about if we started seeing ourselves also in His likeness? As, like what I said, Solomon and Shulamite mean the same thing. So we are becoming, isn't that the definition of sanctification? Becoming what we already are. I mean, that's the whole job of the Holy Spirit. He's painting the image of Christ on us, in us. So as we unpack some of these truths now, keep this in mind because everything about our relationship with our divine Solomon, the King of Peace, the completer and the satisfier of our souls, everything is about us becoming like Him. A living expression of His wholeness, of His glory, and of His peace. So, Song of Songs, let's start with chapter 1, verse 2. Well, this is my key verse for the evening, but we'll get to one other one maybe. So here's what it says. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Just read that first part with me, will you? Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. Now, I know some of us are just going to be pulling away right away. This is too intimate. I can't deal with this. But just hang in, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is trying to talk to us, all right? Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. I was reading this a few weeks ago in the Passion Translation and peeking at some of all those notes they have at the bottom of the page. And I'm telling you, I had a just plain old big God encounter because this is what, I'm just going to quote what the commentator said, to enter the doorway of Jesus' heart, and isn't that all of our desire? We must begin by saying, let Him. We come with a yielded heart, and He does all the rest. Wow. Amen. So this entire divine romance, friends, begins. I mean, this is the very second verse in the first chapter. The whole divine romance begins and in fact continues by and through this matter of yielding. We bring Him our yielded heart and He does all the rest. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? The miracle of simply receiving. And how often this miracle word shows up in the scripture. I'm just going to deal with a couple of them for you. John chapter 1, verse 12. You probably have this memorized. As many as received Him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, the daughters of the Almighty God, even to them that believe on his name. It's not enough to believe. Listen, the devil and every demon in hell believes. But it's when we respond with this yielded heart. Then God's Spirit comes in like a flood and makes us his children. And he sets about for the rest of our life making us like him and to understand what's been freely given to us in Christ Jesus. Number two, every part of our walk with Christ is the same thing. Colossians 2:6. We're going to read it from the New King James. He says, as you therefore have received Christ, there's that word received again. As you yielded yourself and took what he did for you as Lord, so walk in him. Or here's what the Passion Bible says. In the same way you received Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further and further into your union with him. I mean, every step along the way, it's the same key element. You want to move into health? It's by faith. It's simply receiving what Jesus already did. You want to move into more peace in your life, less anxiety? It's receiving the calm and the quiet and trusting him to take care of the stuff. You want to move into greater hope? You want to be used more by Jesus? I mean, anything we want to step higher, to experience more of the glory in our life is about yieldedness. Hallelujah. I heard a brother ask the other day, how is it that a new creation is produced? I mean, it seems like a simple question. Somebody gave me an answer. What was it? Born again? Yeah, exactly. We become this new creation when two become one. Isn't that right? Just on the earthly way, two become one and a new creation is created. And it's when we come into that union with the Lord Jesus Christ that the new is produced. And that's what we're trying to do, is to learn how to live out this new creation reality. We are new creatures in Christ. The Bible declares it. Brand new creatures. So we have to just keep becoming aware of this union of just one, being one with Christ. James 1:21 says, we are to receive, I'm on the second half here, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Meekness talks about humility. It takes a certain amount of humility, right? Any time to receive, to take in, to welcome God's word as the authority in our lives. But wow, when you do, supernatural power is received. Okay, look at this word able. Do you see it? I mean, you know how many times we walk over little words like that? We don't know what they mean. That's the dunamis word, guys. You familiar with dunamis? We're talking about explosive, miraculous power that comes with the Holy Ghost. Anytime, friends, we sit down and take in those kisses of his mouth, the words of God, anytime we are meek enough to say, speak to me, Lord, I'm ready to listen, or we're pulling or drawing from his heart, every single time, dunamis power is released. Hallelujah. And then there's the word save your souls. Save is the word sozo. Another very rich, explosive word in the scripture, which has to do with this, almost identical to shalom, right? We're talking about rescue and deliverance and forgiveness. We're talking about safety and protection. We're talking about health and healing and deliverance of every kind. That was actually another thing that came to me while we were worshiping here tonight, is that, I mean, I think I sort of hinted at it, this thing that seems impossible in your life, but it feels like somebody is dealing with, I don't know if it's an addiction or just a habit that you're trying really hard to break, trying really hard in your own power. But I'm telling you what, the grace is here tonight. So just tonight, just say, yes, I'll take that. I'll take that grace to overcome. I'll take that so-so power right there to save your souls. And every time we get more of the word engrafted, we're talking about absorbed, one of the translation uses. It's just got to get attached. That's a good word. attached, anchored, you know? Hallelujah. Never underestimate, friends, the power of receiving the word. I mean, in a typical Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service, a ladies' Bible study, you're just doing devotions at home. That's not a just, that's a pretty powerful thing. I'm just saying, you can choose. I receive that. That's mine. Or, I don't know if it could happen to me. No, let's just have that attitude. I'm taking it. I'm just going to expect that. We see it played out in the story of Martha and Mary. Jesus came to their house, no doubt, with several guests. Martha welcomes Jesus to her home, but then gets herself distracted. Mary exhibits this welcoming also, but in a different way. She chooses to draw from, to pull from, to absorb into her innermost being the words of life that came from Jesus' mouth. We're going to read it here from the passage in Luke chapter 10. I mean, Martha's entire focus was to be a servant. Very commendable. I mean, we got to have some servants around there. We don't get anything done, right? But in this instance, she made a wrong choice. She was so focused on being the servant, of fulfilling her responsibilities, of accomplishing her duties, of fulfilling the demands of the hour, that she missed out on the better part. So here it is in verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. So Martha did a welcome of saying, come into my home. Her name was Martha. She had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing, I love that word, every revelation that he shared. But Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus. That should have been her first sign something was wrong. Don't interrupt Jesus. Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me. The Lord answered, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you so upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Come on. I mean, you and I in our day probably have 100 more distractions every day. We've got our phones dinging, right? We've got left and right this responsibility and this call and this demand. And Jesus says, are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She's undistracted, and I will not take this privilege from her. Like I said, there's lots of things that distract us in a given day, in a given hour. I mean, and especially if we're in love with Jesus, especially if we have that nature to be a servant, to get the work done that needs to be done. But Jesus is still speaking, friend. He's still releasing the kisses of his mouth for those willing to receive. Here's another scripture in Romans 1:16, and I want to read it from the Passion. He says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power. Whew, take that word tonight. Liberating power in us through Christ. It's unleashed in us through Christ. For I'm thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, then to people everywhere. Listen, there is liberating power unleashed every time we open and draw from and yield to the kisses of heaven. And here they are, the kisses of heaven. The kisses of his mouth. Here they are, right here. One more verse I want to share with you about this idea of receiving is from Romans 5:17. Now, the very difference listed in this verse between reigning in life or not, of being an overcomer and standing in the triumph of Christ or not, is this matter of receiving. So read it with paying attention to that here. If by the transgression of the one, death reigned, I mean, come on, ever since Adam died, death has had the upper hand, right? much more. And that word, much more, shows up five times in this wonderful chapter of Romans chapter 5. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace than the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. Wow. We've all heard about the grace, the abundance of grace. We've all heard the preaching on the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness that's ours in Christ Jesus. The question is, do we receive it as our own? Is this our identity? Like, do you look at yourself in the mirror? Do you think about yourself at the subconscious level as the righteousness of God in Christ? I mean, does it ever come out of your mouth, I am the righteousness of God in Christ? Do you see yourself as having an overflow of grace in your life? Completely sufficient grace. How about this phrase? I have all sufficiency in all things at all times. That's straight out of the scripture, friend. His sufficiency will always upstage my weakness. Whew. That's got to become our very identity, friends. So that verse we started with in Song of Songs 1-2 is really talking about receiving his words. When it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You're making an announcement here. I want to receive. I want to hear. I want to absorb in my innermost being what he has to say. I mean, the spirit kiss is what gave life to the very first man, Adam. And again, the commentator in the Passion Translation is so rich here. He says that first kiss was the meeting of deity and dust. Did you catch my words? The meeting of deity, the Almighty God, with dust. Aren't we made from the dust of the ground? And what happens when deity meets dust? The ability to become the living expression of God. So every time, friends, that we choose, I want to receive. I'm going to be like Mary. I'm going to position my heart to pull, to draw from, to have it absorbed in my innermost being. We also then become living expressions of his glory. Hallelujah. It's these living, breathing words of life. It's this liberating power unleashed within us. It's these divine kisses that make all the difference. We can just exist with breath in our lungs, or we can become living expressions of the Almighty God. For example, Jesus declared, I'm the light of the world. And he truly is, yes. Darkness cannot comprehend, the Bible says, meaning it can't stamp it out. His light is there, existing, and it will always overpower the darkness of the world. But in another place, Jesus said, you're the light. I'm the light. We're cities set on a hill. Well, there's an example right there. We become living expressions of who he is, the light of the world. Or Jesus said, what I give, he told the lady at the well, what I give is living water. Isn't he the drink that satisfies like nothing else? And yet, he says, if you'll just take a drink, rivers will start to flow from you. Again, we become a living expression then of that water that quenches the thirst of the world. In the Song of Solomon, we've actually taken songs from some of these phrases. For example, Song of Solomon 2, verse 1, it says it like this, I'm the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And as you know, there's all kinds of songs out there, poems, where Jesus is described as the rose of Sharon. And Jesus is described as the lily of the valley. And it's true, friends, his beauty outshines every other. His fragrance surpasses every other. He's the one that shows up in our valleys with his sweetness and his beauty. And yet the commentators tell us that this phrase is actually spoken by the female, the Shulamite. And she's saying, I am the rose of Sharon. Now, just so you know, Sharon in the Hebrew means song. Yes, Jesus Christ is our song in the night. Yes. But do you realize that he sings over you? Whew, I love that verse. We're going to peek at, did I give it to you? Zephaniah 3:17. New King James says, the Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty one he will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you. One translation says he will exalt over you with singing. Hallelujah. I mean, he sings over us. He sees us as the rose of Sharon. He sees us as the lily of the valley. So we got, what, 5 minutes? Let's go back to that first chapter of Song of Solomon. I want to show you a little bit of two other verses, 12 and 13. Okay, this is the bride, the Shulamite, speaking again. While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me that lies all night between my breasts. So there's something that happens in the presence of the shepherd, the King of Glory. As we sit at his table, we receive those kisses of life from the mouth of God. But the fragrance of heaven seeps into our souls. And we're comforted, we're revived, we get this new vigor, this fresh courage, just perceiving his love for us. And maybe you recognize that word spikenard, because it shows up in the New Testament too, friend. When Mary poured from her alabaster box, all four Gospels have a rendition of the anointing of oil. Pastor Dave talked about one just Sunday morning. He referred to it being Mary Magdalene, because the translation in the book of Luke calls the woman a sinner, and it's all assumed that it was Mary Magdalene. There could have been three or four anointings. I mean, if I was a woman and I heard somebody else did it, I'd want to do it too. You know what I mean? I'd want to get in on anointing Jesus with some beautiful fragrance. But we don't know. All I know is the one that we're going to read here in John chapter 12. Every commentator says that this was Mary, the one we just read about, who sat at his feet, the sister to Martha and to Lazarus. So it says Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. We're talking about the very same, very costly, very fragrant oil, an oil that clung to the skin and clung to the skin. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Again, one of those other gospels say that it was his head that was anointed. And all these different anointings happen at different times. But I would like to imagine, well, let me finish reading. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Not just the house, but I'm quite sure if this oil was a clinger, like clung to the skin, clung to the hair, Jesus probably smelled like it for a while. What do you think? Yeah. I like to think that even when he was at the whipping post, going through the terrible torture where they ripped the flesh from his back, that he could still smell this fragrance while he carried the cross. While he hung on that cross between life and death. Now, what does it mean for us? That oil of spikenard, I think, speaks of devotion, speaks of adoration, and it becomes a sweet fragrance. Well, if you go back to the Song of Solomon, I think the phrase was that the fragrance reached my king. While the king was at his table, my spikenard, my devotion, my love, my adoration sent forth a fragrance. Now that fragrance of life of having been with Jesus will seep from our pores, spirit to spirit. They pick up the fragrance of life. 2 Corinthians 2 says that some people actually pick up a fragrance of death. And if you're alive in Christ, you, your spirit, will sense that fragrance of life. I actually read this amazing testimony. Oh, I'm sorry, it's after 8. Are you okay? Okay, I read this amazing testimony of this guy who spent a lot of time with Jesus. And I've been asking the Lord, too, I would just love to smell the fragrance of heaven. Has anyone perceived it? Anyway, this man, you have? Ah, beautiful, huh? I read that this man who spent a lot of time with Jesus actually knew exactly what heaven smelled like. At least he had an inkling. And he was walking through the airport and he had luggage in his hands and he just crossed paths with this guy that smelled just like it. And he stopped. And he just turned to him and he said, "You've been with Jesus." And the guy said, "You've been with Jesus." And they both stopped and put their luggage down and just wrapped their arms around each other. Isn't that cool? I mean, our spirits pick it up in each other, this fragrance of life. And the ending is, how does Jesus respond now? The bundle of myrrh is my beloved. That's how Jesus responds. Myrrh is also a fragrant ointment, very bitter. Remember, Naomi, I don't know how that's related. Well, anyway, myrrh is very bitter, but it takes away pain. There's a scene at the cross where they offered Jesus myrrh, and he refused it because it was the drug of the day that took away some of the pain. But Jesus did not want to be partaking of any kind of drug. He wanted to take all the pain, all the torture, all the pain, all the suffering for you and I. He meant to carry it all. So there's this story told of some grandchildren who played a little trick on their grandfather. He had a big old mustache, and he was taking a nap. Maybe you've heard this story. And they took some really stinky cheese, and they hid it in his mustache. And pretty soon his mustache started twitching, and he woke up, and he thought, what's that awful smell? What's in this room? And finally he left the room. Oh, okay, I'm going to go to a different room. And it was still, what's going on? It smells terrible. He couldn't get away from the smell. He finally went outside, and he couldn't get away from it because it was such a pervasive smell. Listen, our Lord of glory has left us with this bundle of myrrh right laying over our hearts. An awareness, friends, if we could just be super aware all day long of the suffering of Christ, of what he did for us, of the price that he paid. Because the truth is that commentators write that our job is simply to come with a yielded heart, positioning our heart to take and to draw from, to absorb his words until they literally become flesh. And we become living expressions of his wholeness, of his glory, and of his peace. So let's just end with that prayer that was at the beginning, where it simply said, "Let him kiss me. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." Did I have it right? All right, one more time. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. We have to give him permission, friends. He's never going to barge in. He's always knocking on the door. You know that Revelation 3:20 is not to the unbeliever as much as it's sometimes just to the believer. Come on, I want in. I want to commune with you. I want to give you some of those kisses of life. Father, I thank you for these people who are so hungry and thirsty for you. I thank you that you are more than willing and ready to kiss them with the kisses of your mouth, to be that bundle of myrrh between their breasts. Thank you, Lord. Every one of us are yearning to smell that fragrance, Lord, the incense of heaven. So help us as we spend time in your presence to take it in, to soak it in, to receive from you every single thing that you have to give us. And I thank you, Lord, for great testimonies that are going to be coming forth. of people meeting with you, hearing from you, receiving from you, and then being living expressions of you in this world in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, blessings on you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. I'm here to agree with anybody in any kind of prayer that you have. And just believe God for breakthroughs, because He is there with abundance of grace. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.